Last night in the Taraweeh, Alhamdulillah, the 20th para was recited, which is the completion of Suratul Naml, thereafter followed by Suratul Qasas, and then a portion of Surah An-Kabut has also been mentioned. At the end of the 19th para, the last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses a question that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better, or are those whom people ascribe as partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are they better? It is the general trend and method of the Qur'an-i Majeed that to prove the divinity and oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala describes His creative powers in His great creations in the form of the skies and the earth, etc., as will be mentioned now. And through that, the divinity and oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proven for those who now contemplate in this. This was something the mushrikeen also could not deny. Although they worshipped others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when it came to this question that who has created these great creations, even they could not deny that their idols are in no way in a position to have created any of these great creations. They could not deny this fact. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in response to that question, the beginning of the 20th para, Allah ta'ala mentions His His immense powers in His which are manifest in His creations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the creations of the skies and the earth, and the sending down of rains, and the growing of splendid gardens, and also the placing of mountains on the earth to provide stability for the earth. We all know the earth is presently rotating on its own axis at mind-boggling speed, but here we are sitting without even feeling a murmur. This is actually the result of the mountains which have been placed on the earth, which provide stability to the earth. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who responds to the call of those in distress. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you vicegerents on earth to enforce the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. So at each junction Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ, is there any God with Allah ta'ala in the who have a share in the creation of all these creations? The mushrikeen also were speechless and answerless. They couldn't answer this because they knew their gods are in no way able to do all this and create all these creations which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. Further, Allah ta'ala then mentions again further, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides you in the darknesses of land and sea by Allah ta'ala providing landmarks and also the celestial bodies, the stars and the planets, and giving you the skills of navigation. This is how Allah ta'ala guides you even in the darknesses of land and sea. And it is only Allah ta'ala who sends down the winds as glad tidings for the mercy of Allah ta'ala in the form of rain, which is to come after those winds which blow. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has originated the creation, and it is only Allah ta'ala who will recreate the creation on the day of Qiyamah. And it is only Allah ta'ala who provides you with sustenance in the skies and the earth. Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell these people, the mushrikeen, hatu burhanakum, bring forth your proofs, if you are truthful, that there are other gods and deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring forth your proofs. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the obstinate statements and denial of these people who deny the concept of resurrection, which after Tawheed, the second main fundamental belief of deen is the aqidah and belief about life after death. This was something that the kuffar, the mushrikeen, just could not understand. And for that reason, they made absurd statements trying to justify how can there be resurrection. They say, Allah Ta'ala narrates and mentions their words, that these people who are steeped in kufr, they are such that they say that when we will turn to dust and sand, we and our forefathers, will we be resurrected? They say this has been promised to us and our forefathers from before, and it is nothing but the stories of the people of the past. In other words, they are trying to say that this has been told to us from before. Every Nabi told their nations that there will be life after death. But as if they are saying that up till today, we haven't seen a single person having been raised from his grave alive. We haven't seen this. So how can we believe it? Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell them, Siru fil ardi, travel in the earth and see for yourself the plight of those who were the sinners, those who were the wrongdoers, how Allah Ta'ala's punishment came to them. And consoling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do not grieve over them, that they are rejecting your message of truth which you are propagating to them. And do not be in any state of distress concerning that which they plot against you. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is consoled by these words. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these people who refuse to accept the message of Haqq, they are actually spiritually dead, deaf and blind. No matter what you do, they are not able to listen. You are not in a position to make the dead hear. They are spiritually dead. And a deaf person also cannot hear your call when they turn away in aversion. We all know a deaf person who can't hear, but at least if he is facing you, he is not turning away, you can make him at least understand something by means of sign language. But these people are such that they turn away in aversion, despite your calls of the message of Haqq towards them, but they are unable to hear, in other words, heed your call in any way. And further Allah Ta'ala says that those that are blind, spiritually blind, you cannot guide them from their condition of misguidance, because they are spiritually blind and they can't see, and accept the message of Haqq. Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning one of the last major signs of Qiyamah, that Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ When the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be decreed concerning Qiyamah, then أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ Then we will take out a creature from the earth which will speak to the people. Referring to Dabbatul Ard in the Kitab Islahul Aqaid, under the topic of the major signs of Qiyamah, we did some details of that towards the end of time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the Mount of Safa to split open, and this creature will emerge, very strange features it will have, and it will speak to people. And those that are the mu'mineen, it will recognize the mu'mineen and the kuffar. And those that are the mu'mineen, it will make their face shine like the stars. And those that are the kuffar, it will darken their faces to such an extent that everybody will then be able to distinguish who is a mu'min and who is not a mu'min. This last one of the last major signs of Qiyamah, and just before it or after it will be the other major sign of Qiyamah, where the sun will rise from the west, and it is at this time that the doors of Tawbah will be closed. Now no further repentance of anyone or no acceptance of Islam of anyone will now be accepted in any way. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions some descriptions of the day of Qiyamah and the blowing of the trumpet and the conditions which will prevail at that time. Those mountains which you see to be so firm and solid, Allah ta'ala says, وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ Those mountains will seem to you, will be such that they will be flying around and they will be moving around like moving clouds. In other words, they will be now, from this condition of being solid and firm, they will now fly around and they will be then turned to dust. Allah Ta'ala mentions then Qiyamah will occur, and that person who brings forth a good deed, for him will be a better return for it. And those that bring forth an evil deed, they will be then thrown headlong into the fire of Jahannam, and that is how Allah Ta'ala will retribute the people according to their actions. The next surah is Suratul Qasas. The word qasas means stories, and since the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam have been mentioned here, particularly the story of Musa alayhi salam and how he propagated the message of Haq to Fir'aun and his people, and how they refused, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed them, very much detail have been mentioned of this incident. As mentioned previously, the story of Musa alayhi salam has been mentioned throughout the Quran Majeed, different aspects of his life and his encounters with Fir'aun and also with his own people, the Bani Israel. Here too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great details. One of the reasons is this, to provide encouragement to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Musa alayhi salam had to undergo and endure great hardship and difficulties in propagating the message of Haq. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your people, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they too are now opposing you, rejecting your message. You also now continue, as was the case of Musa alayhi salam. The circumstances which prevailed at the time of the birth of Musa alayhi salam, and how his mother then put him into that box to save his life, and then he was retrieved, and then he grew up in the palace of Fir'aun, and all those details are mentioned here. Further on, how the incident happened that he accidentally then killed that Qibti, the Copt, who was from the nation of Fir'aun, when he was disputing and fighting with a person from the Bani Israel, and because of that he had to flee Egypt to save his life, because an order of a death warrant had been issued against him. And then he goes to a place called Madian, where he meets Shu'aib alayhi salam, and then he marries one of the daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salam, stays there with Shu'aib alayhi salam in his service for 8 to 10 years, and then he leaves Madian to come back to Egypt, and the distance between the two in those days was about 8 days journey, and during the way he lost his way, it was very cold, and then he sees a fire, and for the sake of warmth, since his wife also was in labor about to give birth, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with nabuwat, and then he was told to go to Egypt and then propagate the message of Tawheed to Fir'aun. The whole incident is mentioned here. One particular point of the modesty which Musa alayhi salam had displayed was the daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salam. He was a stranger in Midian who helped the daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salam to give water to their animals to drink. And then Shu'aib alayhi salam, when he came to know of this, he called for them, and when the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam came to call him, then he did not, and to show the way, the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam did not walk in front. Musa alayhi salam himself walked in front out of shame and modesty, and she was at the back, not even saying a word, but just now through throwing off the pebbles in the direction which Musa alayhi salam had to go to the house of Shu'aib alayhi salam. And this is how he reached the home of Shu'aib alayhi salam. The lesson of modesty and shame can be seen in this incident also. Further on, then the other encounters with Fir'aun, and then of the challenge of the magicians, and they're ultimately accepting Iman. All those incidents are mentioned in great detail in this surah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You are unable to guide and give hidayat to that person whom you please. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides whom he wishes. These verses were revealed concerning the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, who was a great support and helper for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's great heartfelt desire was that he should accept Iman, but it was Allah ta'ala's taqdeer that he was not blessed with Iman, despite the great desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for which he was most definitely grieved and said, Allah ta'ala consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is our prerogative to give hidayat to somebody. Your duty and responsibility is to show the way, but to give hidayat itself, it is only in our hands, and whom we wish we give hidayat. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, towards the end of the surah, again mentions some details of the day of Qiyamah, the what will transpire on the day of Qiyamah, and towards the end, the incident of Qarun is mentioned. Qarun was from the fraternity of Musa alayhi salam. He was from the Bani Israel himself. He was a cousin to Musa alayhi salam also. And Allah ta'ala gave him immense wealth and honor, but that made him conceited and haughty and proud. With the result, he became jealous of Musa alayhi salam's leadership, and he started now opposing Musa alayhi salam. He was told by the people that la tafrah, don't be boastful, because Allah Ta'ala does not like those who are boastful. And they reminded him that from which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you the immense wealth, etc., seek the year after from there. And don't forget your share of the dunya, in the sense that from that which Allah Ta'ala has given you, prepare for that which now is eternal by spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and do good and be kind to others, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been kind and good to you. And don't cause corruption on the earth. Allah Ta'ala does not like those who cause corruption on the earth. In a most haughty and arrogant way, Qarun then replied, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ إِنْدِي. Whatever I have been granted of the wealth was because of my own knowledge. He refused to acknowledge that whatever has been granted to him was from Allah Ta'ala. He attributed to his own intelligence, to his own knowledge, and to his own efforts. And he said that whatever I have got, it was through my efforts and my skills and my talents and my intelligence. And then Allah Ta'ala then reminds him, Allah Ta'ala says, did he not know that we had destroyed before him many generations, many nations who were much more stronger than him, physically as well as financially, and they were much more larger than him in numbers also, but we destroyed them. Concerning the treasures and the wealth which Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with, Allah Ta'ala mentions that just the keys of his treasures were so much that a mighty troop of strong men, they found it difficult to carry the keys of his treasures. Not his treasures, just the keys. So imagine how much of treasures Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. Anyway, it is mentioned that when he used to emerge from his home, and he used to emerge with great pomp and splendor, and in a very showing off manner, and the people who desired the worldly life, seeing him, they used to gape, and they used to then desire that if only we are also given, as Qarun has been given. Really, he is a very fortunate person. But those people who had been granted knowledge, which means the understanding of deen, they used to say that, woe unto him, the rewards by Allah Ta'ala are much better for the person who brings the iman and does good actions. And the result was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made him sink into the earth together with all his riches and all his wealth. And there was no one to help him besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor could he help himself. Allah Ta'ala then mentioned that those people who just yesterday, who were saying that if only we had been given, like how Qarun had been given, they desired the riches which Qarun was given. But just those same people then admitted that if it was not for the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would also have been sunken into the earth. And they admitted that it is only Allah Ta'ala who expands sustenance for whomsoever he wishes, and who constricts sustenance for whomsoever he wishes. In other words, a person should be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with. It is the decree of Allah Ta'ala that sustenance he has kept in his hands, he gives some more compared to others. And this is how their eyes opened up. Just yesterday they were now desirous of getting whatever Qarun had been given. But then they realized that this is not a sign of acceptance. And it is only the grace of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala had saved us from the punishment with which Qarun was afflicted with. Allah Ta'ala says concerning that this is the year after is that which we should aspire for. And it is for those people who don't desire haughtiness or greatness in the earth, and nor do they desire any type of facade, any type of corruption. And the good result is only for those who are the muttaqeen. Thereafter, there's a verse, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَدْ. That surah, Suratul Qasas, is from the very last of the Makki surahs. It just was revealed at the time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already undertook the journey of Hijrat towards Madinatul Munawwara, and between Makkatul Mukarramah and Juhfa, a place nearby Makkah, between these two places the surah was revealed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very grieved having to leave his sacred homeland of Makkatul Mukarramah. To console Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala revealed this verse, that being who had decreed for you the Qur'an Majid, the propagation and the practicing on the Qur'an Majid, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ, will return you to your place of return. The Mufassirin explained the place of return refers to Makkah. That today you have to leave because of forced circumstances. But very shortly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now return you to Makkatul Mukarramah, victorious. And Makkatul Mukarramah will then fall to your feet and you will conquer it. And in the 8th year of Hijri, we know Makkatul Mukarramah was conquered. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they conquered Makkatul Mukarramah. Allah ta'ala's decree and prophecy had become manifest in the 8th year of Hijri, and Makkatul Mukarramah was then returned to the hands of the Muslimin. The next surah is Suratul Ankabut. Suratul Ankabut, Ankabut means a spider. Mention is made of an example of the web of the spider towards the end of the para, which we will mention just now. That's why the surah has been called Suratul Ankabut. Being a Makki surah, here too the fundamentals of deen, particularly of Tawheed, have been mentioned with two specific messages. And one is that by bringing Iman, a person must not think that he will not be afflicted with difficulties and hardships. The stronger the Iman of a person, the more trials and tribulations he has to undergo. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do people think that they will be left, in other words, in comfort and ease, just by them saying Amanna, that we have brought Iman, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, and they will not be tested. Allah ta'ala says that those before them, we tested them, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to know, which means Allah ta'ala makes it known to others, that who are the truthful ones and who are the liars. So through the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and difficulties and hardships are to test who are the genuine and who are not the genuine, who are the true mu'mineen and who are not. So it is through the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that people also come to know that who are the genuine Muslimin and who are the liars. So difficulties and hardships will come. And the Anbiya alayhi salam, who were the strongest of Iman compared to anyone else, they underwent the most difficult of difficulties and trials, which compared to the other people. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further on in the surah also makes mention of the many incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, how they used to be opposed and mocked at and ridiculed and also rejected. But they persevered and they continued with the message of Haqq, and eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them triumph over their nation by destroying their nations, as mentioned repeatedly over and over in the Qur'an Majeed. Allah ta'ala mentions that those who strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ, they are striving for their own benefit. Whether in the path of Allah ta'ala fighting the enemy, or whether now fighting their nafs, and to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala's command, it is for their own benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely ghani. Allah is not in need of any of the sacrifices of anyone for the upliftment of his deen. Allah Ta'ala is completely independent from the people of the world. Allah Ta'ala then also emphasizes the need that human beings should be kind and compassionate and deal nicely with their parents. Allah Ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. However, if they force you to do to ascribe, Allah Ta'ala says, to me anyone as partners for which you don't have any knowledge, then in that case you don't have to be obedient to them, you don't obey them, because that is in conflict with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience for parents should not result in the disobedience of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Allah ta'ala then mentions the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salam, the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and then also the other incidents of the nation of Lut alayhi salam, how Allah ta'ala then punished them, and the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam is also mentioned here, the incidents of Shu'aib alayhi salam and his nation, and also briefly concerning Musa alayhi salam, and also the nations of Ad and Thamud are also mentioned here. And at the end of the para, Allah Ta'ala then gives the example that the example of those who ascribe partners to, others as partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take them as their helpers and patrons, Allah Ta'ala says, the example is like that of the spider who had made his home, which we call the web, and the weakest of all homes is the home of the spider, the web. Just a gust of wind also will break it. But according to the spider, that is his home. And on that is his support. And he gets everything from there. So those people who now ascribe anyone else as partners to Allah Ta'ala and regard them to be their helpers and patrons, they should remember that what they have put their trust on is just like the spider web, which is completely weak. If only they knew. Trust should only be placed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not on anyone else. Allah ta'ala says, in this way, we mention different types of examples for the people so that they can understand. Allah ta'ala give us understanding.